Anybody notice it was raining 30 seconds ago and now the sun's out? That's the way we are. We talked about our emotions a while back, how they swing from one point to another in a matter of situations. But we're coming to a point in life where stability has got to stand. We've got to know our foundation. The lessons today, the testimonies today, the prayer requests today have all pointed toward the sermon topic today. And what I'm going to be preaching about is often, anybody ever heard of Bigfoot? Huh? Heard of Bigfoot? Anybody ever saw Bigfoot? What? Oh. But my point is, people pursue their life challenges to find a Bigfoot. And I'm not going to say they is one, or I'm not going to say they ain't. I have seen no evidence. My point being, there's evidence of God. There is proof. There is evidence as we sit here, as we breathe, as we think, as we can comprehend, as we can understand that our emotions are from there to there, as we can look outside and see the sunshine, as we see the rain, as we see the trees. That's evidence of God. It is from no other source. Even scientists will say nothing, something can't come from nothing, and yet they deny God. I always say I'm just an old hill jack here from West Virginia. Not smart, chased girls and played sports in high school, didn't pay attention like I should have. But I even comprehend that God is the creator of all, that this could happen without nothing. If you agree with that, I think I'm in a pretty good crowd there. That God is real. God is the source of everything. And that is where we need to focus. Right now. Right now. Who do you go to for advice? Bigfoot? We need to go to God. And the sermon topic is about prayer this morning. About serious prayer. Remember growing up, and we still teach our children this. Let's say grace. God is great and God is good. And we get through that. And that's a great thing to teach our children. But we're teaching them to talk about God. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Prayer about God. I mean, it describes who He is. It describes His awesome power, His authority. But the Word of God tells us to talk to God. Directly to God. In the Old Testament, we're going to see where the people had to go through priests. And they heard from prophets. The New Testament shows us that we can go, you and me, peons, hill jacks from West Virginia, nobodies, uneducated people. He looks pretty educated. Uneducated people. We can go directly to the throne of grace by Jesus. By His shed blood, by His grace and His goodness. But the point being, we have a way to go directly to God with what? With everything. With our problems, our issues, our emotions, our anxieties, our worries about upcoming surgeries and tests and all kinds of that. About deaths. You know, I can't help but think, you know, I knew Mr. Leisure. You met him, but I got to know him a little more personally. And he is a great person. But man, isn't it exciting to know he is in the presence of the Lord right now. The instant that he died, it says, when to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that good? Isn't that good news? Isn't that good to know? Get saved and let them know you're saved. Let your moms and your dads and your children and your aunts and uncles and cousins and friends and loved ones, let them know that you have accepted the Lord as your Savior. You can rejoice when your mamas go on to heaven. You can rejoice when your daddies go to heaven. You can rejoice when your babies go to heaven. Because they know. Yeah, that's right. We can be excited. We can be depressed. We were sad when Uncle Oakie left, wasn't we? But we know where he's at. We know he is in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that good stuff? And that's not even in the sermon topic. God is so good to us. And I'm not saying to us here at Drifter Run, blah, blah, blah. I'm saying to Christians, to people who seek him, who love him, who trust in his blood, to trust in the hope of eternal life through him. That's who we need to seek in prayer. The testimony's about prayer this morning. You touched on prayer. And I always think often now as Candy when she would point out pray specifically. And I kind of knew that, but, you know, I just prayed. It's about praying to the creator of all, the giver of life, the only hope that we have. And we can go directly. The Word of God tells us we can go directly to the throne of grace. That's my point here this morning. I want our hearts to be stirred and knowing that it's not a ritual to come up here and pray. It's not a ritual to pray grace. It's not a ritual, pray before you go to bed. No, let me do that. It's a personal conversation with the Creator of all, who would look at us and send his son that we might be able to be judged not guilty. Man, I'm excited about it. I've been excited about this term for a couple of days, this topic of prayer. You know I like fishing, right? I was out most of the day yesterday in prayer. Man, prayer. Prayer. You can pray, man. You can pray when you're fishing. But I've learned something. I need to learn to fish while I'm praying. Put that first. Right? Said, pray without ceasing. And we know, you know, we can't bow our knees. Man, God's bigger than that. We know we can be driving down the road and be praying, and he hears. We know we can be sitting at home, sitting in a tree stand, sitting in a boat, wherever you might be, because God's not limited to right here. Oh, man. God is so good. Now, God is so good. We got to quit taking that for granted, folks. We got to realize we got a source that we can go to that is all power, all authority. I'm going to be reading out of 2 Chronicles chapters 7, and everybody, you know, you'll remember 2 Chronicles 7:14. But I'm going to read a little more of the before and after on them verses to help us to comprehend just what's going on here. Okay, it's about Solomon building the temple. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I'm going to read verses 1 through 3. And then we'll go to 12 through 16. If y'all would stand, if those that are able, for the reading of his word. remember, the emphasis on the morning sermon topic is prayer. It says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, his mercy endureth forever. I'll turn over and we'll read 12 through 16. So the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. He said unto them, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. And if I shut up heaven that there will be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send a pestilence among my people, he says, 7:14, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. That's God telling Solomon that, in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you once again as we come together in your name here this morning, Lord. We just trust you, and we cry out to you that you'll move upon us through the Holy Spirit, Lord, that indwells each of those that have been born again, Lord. We ask that you stir the hearts of any that might be lost here this day, that they might respond to the movement in their hearts, that the calling of the Lord. Again, I ask for you to be with our pastor. Just lift him up to you and his family. And I pray for Chuck Leisure's family also. And I do again, Lord, ask for you to get me out of the way. And again, I ask that you forgive me for my sins. And these favors we ask in Christ's name. And amen. Amen. Thank you all. Thank you all. Now, we hear that 7:14 thrown out there pretty loosely. If my people, which are called by my name and shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Who is my people? You are his people. If you're born again, you're one of his. He's referring to the Israelite people. We know that through the blood of Jesus, we are adopted in to his people. He's talking to us, folks, which are called by my name shall humble themselves. What does it mean to be humble? Do you understand humbled? There's a difference between being humbled and humiliated. There's a difference between saying and being humbled. Humbled. Let's put yourself aside. Let's put yourself below others. That's to me, the greatest form of humbleness is flat on our faces before him. Whether it be in a spiritual thing, because I've seen people try to drive flat on their face, and it's not good. But our hearts to be humbled in the presence of the Lord. And it talks about one other point I want to make, too, and pray and seek my face. That's seeking the personal God that he is. That's seeking him. That's seeking to know him. Used to watch motocross races a lot, and you see guys go by, and you just see their helmets. They all look the same. You'd have to go find them in the pits to see their face, to see who they are, to see what kind of person they was. That's what he's talking about. Are we seeking God's face? Are we seeking whom he is? Because I want to say whom he really is, because the world has a definition of who God is. Oh, to me, God is a... He ain't going to send nobody. That's not in the Word of God. You can find God's face right here. Amen. You find God's face in his creation. You find who he is through prayer, Amen. Through his Holy Spirit, through him moving upon your life and those of lives around you. We all have people near and dear to our hearts that we love and care so much about, more than a lot of times more than they even know, more than they even comprehend. But we can go to a source, a God that knows the compassion that you have for that person. And we know that God can stir the heart of any one of us. We know he knows our hearts inside and out. He knows every word that we've ever thought or spoken. That's the face of God. We got to know who he is. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. How do we go about seeking his face? How do we do that? Social media? You can find him there, but there's a lot of distractions. Church is a good place to come. The Word of God is the best place to go. But to gather together with others, with like-minded people seeking God. We see what happens when maybe we come to church and seek his way or that way. We've all got to seek God, because God created each and every one of us uniquely and individually. I like red, he likes blue. I drive fast, he drives slow. I like football, I like reading books. We're all different. God is the same. God is a place for us all to go to. God is where our prayers can be sent. And we know they are heard. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? You know, whether you're right here in your home, wherever it might be, we know he hears our prayers because he tells us over and over and over that he hears our prayers. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Jeremiah 29:10-14. Jeremiah 29:10-14 says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. He's returning back to Jerusalem. And I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He's telling us he loves us all completely. And then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. All your heart. That we heard something about being all in. That pertains to that. Is God first in your life? Is God first in your life? Well, Jamie can't do nothing about that. That's up to you to seek him. Humble yourself. Put all the desires, put the desire to go fishing all the time aside and seek God first. Seek His face continually. Do not try to justify something that does not. Seek Him first. 2 Kings 18:36-39. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah, the prophet, came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. That was Elijah's prayer. Now, you probably heard the story about the Baal worshipers and whatever. And God told Elijah, have them set up their thing and call on Baal. Call on their God to come down and consume that. And they begged and they clawed and they cut themselves and everything else, trying to get Baal to respond. And he didn't. Why? Because there ain't none. That's a made-up God in people's minds, just as in this world today. But Elijah's prayer, I'm going to say it again, and Elijah's prayer, as it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah, the prophet, came near and said, Lord God, he's seeking God's face. He's crying out to the Creator of all. He's putting his trust in the one that can do. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel and that I am thy servant. Sometimes we struggle with that one. When we put Him first in our life, we become His servant. And I don't know about you, but I want to be His servant. I've heard people say, I don't want to serve nobody. Well, if you say that, you're serving Satan. If you say, I don't want to serve nobody, you might as well say, I'm hooked up with you, Satan. Hear me, O Lord, hear that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God and that Thou hast turned their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces. And they said, The Lord He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Now, they just saw a miraculous event only the hand of God could do. And that was on a scale, a very large magnitude, but it was over quickly. And they responded. But my point right now is the evidence of God. Do you see evidence of Bigfoot out there? No. But we can find the evidence of God in everything, right down to the rock that Jupiter has in her hand. That's the evidence of a creator. That rock didn't just magically appear in her hand. That rock came because of God's creation. About done. I'm going to talk real quick about just a little bit about the early church in Acts chapter 4, verses 23-31. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And this is Peter and John after they've been in prison just for no more than witnessing to others. And that's coming, folks. That's coming. You're not supposed to tell people about the Lord. That's controversial. I hope it ain't controversial to you. Seek the face of the Lord. He says, so after Peter and John were released, he said, they went their own company and reported all that the chief priests had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God which hath made heaven, earth, and sea, and all that is in them. They didn't fly to whining. They didn't fly to hiding. They cried out to God. Man, I've been so guilty of just buckling up and wanting to crawl in the closet again every time something don't go right. Man, I need to call out to God. I need to call out to the Creator, the one who created all this, the one who's bigger than all, the source of everything, with a great emphasis on because He is God. Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? How can you deny creation? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. Sound familiar? Huh? One world government, world economic order. God's not in that. They don't want God in that. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and Gentiles and people of Israel were all gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before it to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants with that with all boldness that may speak thy word. They're praying right now. They're asking God to give them boldness. Are you afraid to talk about the Lord in public? Are you afraid to say grace in a restaurant? You feel that pressure? Ooh, what do they think? What do they think? We got to get to the place we don't care what they think. We would hope that it might be a witness. We would hope that it might encourage. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child. And when they had prayed, key, when they had prayed, everybody hear that one? When they had prayed, when we had prayed, what happened? The place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness because of prayer. God hears our prayers. I grew up thinking, they don't hit the ceiling. Yeah, I'm just going through this. I'm just saying this. God promises us that He hears our word. What I got wrote down here is we got a big election coming up about Tuesday. And in my lifetime, this is probably the most meaningful election, one way or the other. And it's beyond a physical election. There is spiritual values that is going to be determined by this outcome. I'm telling you. Our country, if you have read and studied the birth of our country, it was founded on biblical values. It was founded by men that seek the face of the Lord. I think 53 out of the 55 signatures of the Constitution, I don't know if those accurate are just right, but were Christians. And if you'll remember, you older folks, if you'll remember when you was a child growing up, even in the secular world, wasn't there a little more respect for godly values? And they are pretty much gone now, not even in the equation. So my point about prayer is the power of the opportunity that we have as the local body of Christ here at Drift Run. And I'm going to invite us to come and pray for our country. And why my emphasis was on that prayer was the opportunity that we have. It's not to come up here and listen to what other people are saying. It's not to come up here and I hope Ken's seen me pray because I want him to know I've been praying. I want him to know. No, I want you as a person, as an individual, to humble yourself before the Creator of all, before the Giver of life, before the Establisher of grace, to come and fall on our faces and cry out to God. Not just for healing for this country, but for the truth to be revealed and the lies to be exposed. I want you to consider coming and praying for our church family. And this is serious stuff here. Satan wants you guys split. He could ruin this whole front row by having a rift between you and you. He could go right on back the aisles. He could ruin every row by maybe just messing up one little relationship. And Satan's wanting to do that right now. He wants to ruin your life, Teresa. He wants to ruin your life, Nathaniel, Nathan. He wants to ruin all of our lives. And we need to come and pray for one another. We need to come and ask to receive His strength. We need to humble ourselves because, folks, we can't do it. We ain't going to fix this. We've got to establish a grounded, rooted faith in God. And we can do that by prayer this morning, by gathering together in His name. I want you to come and pray for your family. All of us probably have lost loved ones in our families. All of us have somebody that might be sick right now. All of us have things going on in our lives. All of us have situations where if I do this, that's not good for the Lord. But boy, the people really want me to do it. I think that's what I should do. Or I should not do that. I should go this way and seek God. Come and pray for that this morning. Come and pray for your lost friends and loved ones. Who has lost friends? Hold up your hands. Who has lost friends? Look, it's unanimous in here. We all have lost friends. And our Christian duties are to share the love of Jesus with our lost friends, correct? By word, by action. God, I need strength. Here's where we come to get it. And I'm not saying just here. But boy, this is a great place to start. Been a lot of effort put in to this altar that we can gather around here. And I don't want to say just like they did in the old days, because the old days is past. We can't bring them back. We're here today. We have an opportunity today to gather together right now and call down God's grace and mercy and goodness and strength and encouragement in our lives. We do. We need to stop taking that for granted. And we need to ask God to pierce our own hearts, to move upon us to be that one that'll go help my neighbor that I maybe don't like. Or the one that carrying too big a load that we don't like, but we'll go help carry that load. To do the right thing inside of the Lord. I ask God all the time to change my thought process, how I react to situations, to change the desires in my heart. We can do that right now. I invite you all to come and pray for what? We got plenty of room, and if not, we'll open the doors. If not, come up here. If not, go over there. If not, pray in your pew. But I'm asking you right now to pray. To pray. Not just emotion, but an action. And remember, not talking about God. Let's talk to Him as we can. You want to come get a song? And I invite all the people that said amen. We heard that song a while ago. We sang that earlier. And all the people said amen. And that's at the end of a prayer. And amen says, let it be. Means let it be done. I invite you to come right now and cry out to God for what's going on in your life. Cry out to God for this country. Cry out to God for your loved ones. Cry out for the need in your own life. And cry out that God will have His way and that we'll allow it. Amen.